We've been looking over a period of time, really getting a deep appreciation to the Son of God who came as a man, a body that God had prepared. Just imagine when Jesus spoke to the Father and he said, "Father, sacrifice and offerings and all the sacrifice of the blood of these bulls, etc., it doesn't really do anything. But a body that you have prepared for me, this body that we're going to go to the cross, the Father prepared." There is love involved in this whole incredible good news of God. And Jesus saying, "You've prepared that body, here I come to do your will." Puts a new meaning of to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Super. So we are the body of Christ that has been prepared by the Father to touch the nations, to touch lives of people. Yeah. Father, we want to thank you for an incredible time where we could just be together in your presence. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for you being here and again just come and do what you're wanting to do here amongst us, in our lives. Jesus, have your free will of you. Just minister to us. We receive you in fullness and embrace your full activity. We embrace you, Lord Jesus, as the Son of the living God. And we receive whatever you're wanting to do in our lives. And we thank you. Welcome to disrupt everything. Welcome just to do what you're wanting to do, Lord. We say yes, 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 Lord Jesus. Just as you said to the Father, "Father, you prepared a body. You've come to do the Father's will." And we come here, Lord Jesus, because we've come to do your will. And we ask, come and share, come and minister, come and touch our lives. Holy Spirit, thank you for your amazing ministry here to just give revelation. And today, the mystery of God, who is Christ. And all your wisdom, all your understanding, all your knowledge is in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we need Holy Spirit to reveal the mystery that naturally we cannot understand, naturally we cannot conceive, naturally there's no understanding because it's hidden and hidden. So we're asking our Holy Spirit's ministry to reveal Jesus Christ, not only to us, but to the world, to the nations, this mystery that only by the Holy Spirit can be made known. So we're going to be praying this morning, Father, and asking for Holy Spirit to work so that people can get born again by the power of Holy Spirit. And so we thank you that we can be with you, Lord Jesus, standing in the presence of the Father, in the throne room, interceding for the nations, interceding for the lost, interceding for the body of Christ. And we want to thank you for this morning's opportunity together to intercede with you. And this we thank you, Father, through Jesus, who's called us, who's made this all possible, who's reconciled us to you, Father, and opened the way for us to enter into the most incredible Holy of Holies. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so we're going to continue quickly where we left off last week, which has been building on for quite a few weeks, the foundation of the gift of righteousness, receiving that incredible gift. And just for those that are joining us this morning, we're speaking about this incredible good news of God. We know that without having to go into any Bible scriptures, I think we're all aware that within us is this tendency to do that which is wrong. It's built within us. And that is why we realize there that when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, how all of mankind had within us the tendency just to live a life that is against the will of God. It's not the truth that is found in God. It's not His way for our lives. So there's that natural ability within us to what we will call sin. In other words, disobedience to the way of God. And we know there that the celebration that we're looking at and celebrating our Lord Jesus Christ coming to this earth, because He came and he took the body of a man, but yet the full deity is in this human body. That's why Jesus is both God and man. And so we have this incredible reality of God's love where Jesus comes and he lives as a man. He faces his sisters, he faces his brothers, he faces his mother, he faces all the people around and the conflict and the politicians, you name it, he faces and he lives in that reality. He lives in the reality of life, but yet totally obedient to the Father. Never once did he sin. Never once did he violate truth. He walked in total righteousness, exactly the way of his Heavenly Father. He lived that life because we could not. So he's doing this for us. And that's why when we get born again, as a gift from God, we receive the righteousness of Christ. So his righteousness is now a gift for you and I. So we are in him. And that's why we can now, as we have gone through last week, we can now experience, when we saw there in Romans 5 verse 1, that we have been declared not guilty, we have been justified. And as we looked at the throne room of grace that we're looking at in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, and we spent some time last week, that the throne room of grace, because God's throne is founded on the foundation of righteousness and justice. How can we hear a Heavenly Father inviting us to say, come, come to the throne, come to my throne, come to me as I sit on my throne of grace, founded on the pillars of righteousness and justice. See, and that is why when we have received our Lord Jesus Christ, we have received his gift of righteousness. His perfection has now been credited to us. And that's the gift, that's the grace. And so for us to stay in grace, we continually appropriate, we continue renew our mind, we continue get into agreement. But Father, you have given us a gift, this righteousness of your Son Jesus, we have received. And that is when we looked at Romans 5 verse 16 also, that now grace, God's grace reigns through this gift of righteousness. So when we looked at Hebrews chapter 4, let me read it again. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So when this invitation to mankind, this is to all mankind, for us to be able to come to our Father, to know his love, to live in the family of God and not stay out of the family of God, to know the reality of the Father's involvement, his love for you and I. It's all this is in this incredible invitation. And so now that we have received this incredible gift of righteousness, grace reigns. The throne of grace. The throne speaks about the rule, the reign. Grace reigns through the gift of righteousness. So Jesus now satisfies the incredible righteous and the justice nature of our Heavenly Father. So he's satisfied in Christ Jesus. And that's why in Christ Jesus, now we are able to, in him, to approach the throne of grace, because we've been given the gift of righteousness, and because we've received the gift of righteousness, our Heavenly Father declares us not guilty. We have been justified. So that was all the Romans 1 through to chapter 5 that we've been looking at. And as a result of us now being justified because of this gift of righteousness, Romans chapter 5 verse 2 now shares that now by faith, this God's persuasion, it is when the Holy Spirit spoke and revealed God to us, God became real. So it's not a religious intellectual knowing. This is a real encounter with the living God. This is a real encounter with Jesus Christ. This is a real encounter with the Holy Spirit, being born again by the Holy Spirit. It's very real to us. Now that it became so real, that's the grace of God. That's God's involvement, drawing us into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He's giving us that faith to believe. This faith is inside of us, and suddenly God becomes so real, and we now take that step of response. That's when we believe. So that's the action of the divine persuasion within us. Well, I believe and I receive what you have done for me. And as a result of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, that's now, we have now, not only did we experience God's involvement, God's grace, not only did we experience the faith that He birthed within us, but now we have access into this grace. So now our life, now we live in the reality of this incredible involvement of God. And that's why when Paul writes to the Galatians, and he speaks to the body of Christ there, and he says, guys, listen, you are once again wanting to go into kind of a works to get right with God, with all these religious rituals. If you do that, then what Christ has done has got no value to you. You've stepped out of grace. So although now we have experienced grace, we're involved with grace, we step into, we stand in this grace, it's very easy for us once again to get out of the power, the reality of this incredible grace of God. And we try and go back into trying to earn God's favor, trying to do things to impress God and all those kind of things that doesn't really do much at all there. So all the time, this call for you and I to be able to continually stand in this grace, to live in this grace, simply by faith and believing in what Christ has done for you and I. Then Christ has a value, as Galatians 5 speaks about. Christ has value for you and I. We're living in what God has done for you and I through His Son Jesus Christ. And that's the life that we are called to live, in what our Lord Jesus has done for you and I that we could not have done. We are to live in, that's why we live in Him. In Him we move. We live, we have our being. He is our life. And the only way for you and I to live in the reality of this incredible gift of righteousness and this gift of grace that we have is to continually walk by the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that all the time enables us to be able to experience. It's like the Holy Spirit distributes this incredible grace of God in our lives. And that's why all the time, as we walk by the Holy Spirit, we are walking, we are living, we are abiding, and we are living in the reality of God's incredible involvement. Because the Holy Spirit, what Jesus says, the Holy Spirit takes from Jesus and makes it known to you and I. So it's the Holy Spirit's ministry to take everything that our Lord Jesus has done for mankind and now imparts it into us, makes it alive. That's why it's called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, Romans 8, verse 1 and 2. And that's the joy, that's the calling of how do we remain in this grace of God. It's simply by keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. So when we start to experience something like here in Hebrews chapter 4, we go back to verse 12, because we were speaking about the Sabbath rest. This grace is a place of incredible rest, because we are freed from our human effort to try and get some kind of eternal life. So no matter what religion, what activities that mankind worldwide is involved in trying to improve, trying to get right with God, everything that's outside what Christ has done and is simply believing in what Christ has done has got no value at all. It's all about our Lord Jesus. Grace and truth comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. So now we as believers, and many, many times as Christians, we take this verse 16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our need, time of need. Many of us, when we have a problem, we want to use this scripture. Oh God, help me, I've got a problem, and become, Father, your word says this there. But we don't understand the context of the scripture. And that's why very often we're not experiencing this incredible divine help of our Heavenly Father, because we're not living in the reality of grace. So in order for us to be able to continually stand in this realm of God's incredible grace, is there in verse 12. Remember that when we are obedient to the Holy Spirit, we stay in rest. Okay, that was the whole chapter 4. And also if you go to chapter 3 of Hebrews. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him in whom we must give account. So take this again for our Lord Jesus Christ, walking in total obedience. He is the Word. Take this in His life, and you realize there that in the whole life of Jesus, there was nothing hidden from His Father. Nothing at all. Everything that our Lord Jesus did, His thoughts, His attitudes, the attitude of His heart, everything was absolutely perfect. Okay, that's why He's the great high priest. That's why we can enter into the throne, because of what He has done. But for us, as we as believers, as we're walking with God, and for those that are not believers, remember what the Holy Spirit ministry, when Jesus said that when I leave, John 16, when I leave, the Holy Spirit will convict, verse 8, will convict the world of their sin. Will convict of sin because of unbelief. Okay? So the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world of unbelief. So this here is not just for the believers. We're speaking about an invitation from a Heavenly Father for all of mankind to come to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. So now the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, is live and it's living, it's active, it's sharper, and in double. So we notice over here that as we are living our lives, suddenly the Holy Spirit is very much involved in revealing something to us that is not truth, that is not in line with the ways of God. And so the Holy Spirit is very much involved, and He shares with us. For those that don't know God, don't have a fellowship with God at all, the Holy Spirit is convicting of their unbelief concerning Jesus Christ. The Father draws, the Father calls people into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. So that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to reveal. So you and I, on a daily basis, throughout this week coming, we'll experience the ministry of the Holy Spirit in sharing with us anything that is not in line with what it is to really be a child of God. Whatever it may be, it could be an area in our life that is we're not aware of, that's still disobedience to the truth. It could be the call of God on our life. It could be many things, but the Holy Spirit is ministering to our lives. And as a result of that, when we come to that awareness, now instead of running away as Adam and Eve did, we go on, and this is why, this is in the context of this, of verse 16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And this is now, as we become aware of the things that the Holy Spirit is now sharing, the invitation is for us. Now we come to the throne of grace. Grace and truth come through Jesus. So now truth by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has made known to you and I. The Word is alive, it's active, it's powerful, and we become aware of something that the Holy Spirit is sharing with us. If we want to enter into that rest, we obey, we respond in obedience to what the Holy Spirit is sharing, and we experience that rest that we spoke about previously. So now the Holy Spirit is shared. Now we come and we say, Father, you thank you that you have shared this area of my life that you wanted to deal with. And I know I need your involvement over here. I know that I need what your Son Jesus Christ has done in His death and resurrection to get me sorted out in this particular area. So it's again through Christ Jesus, and that's why when we used this word last week, we spoke about approach the throne of grace with confidence. Okay, that's that boldness, that freedom, so that we may receive mercy. And remember, I just touched briefly on this word mercy. Mercy is God's loyalty to the covenant. It's covenant loyalty. That's what mercy is. It's covenant love. So here we see throughout the scriptures, right from the time that God spoke there to Adam and Eve, when He spoke to Noah about the rainbow, when He spoke to Abraham, whenever He spoke to David, whenever He made a covenant, all throughout history we see how God is totally committed to that covenant that He has made with man. Likewise with our Lord Jesus Christ, now there's this new covenant as we look at the communion. He's made a new covenant, once again came, his name was Jesus, to save us from our sin. So in Christ we've been set free from the power of sin and the consequence of the sin that we were involved with. And now in him we have this eternal life. Now we begin to realize, but everything, and we haven't got a clue yet really what this really means, but everything containing and concerning the new covenant that the Father has made through his Son Jesus Christ, the Father is committed into that. So we might come and say, Father, and this is a reality, you won't believe it. I've come to help, I need money, I need the numbers for the lottery ticket. This is believers I'm talking about. See, so they take the scripture, I need help. Give me the numbers and that. See, God is committed to the covenant. So the help that you and I will be receiving is all the help that is involved in the covenant agreement with the Father and the Son on behalf of mankind. That's the help that we're going to be receiving. And that's why many believers are battling and they come into to Father and they on the scripture, the fridge magnet is all in all the fridges at homes and all of that, and that God's not helping, but God is committed to the covenant, and the covenant is that we'll be conformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. The covenant is that we are called to be children of light. The covenant is that he has taken us out of the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of light. We live in the kingdom of God. That's covenant language. He's committed to that. See, and that now calls, that's why the Father's calling us to go to a higher, to go higher in him. So that we can begin to really live in the truth of this incredible covenant and God's involvement in this covenant. And that's why we need the grace of God to enable us to be able to live seated with Christ, to live as children of God in this world. So when we're crying out to God for help, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in health, whether it's in this life, whatever it may be, realize there that all things are working out for the good, because he's the purpose. We have been predestined to be conformed into the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the commitment of the covenant. Part of the covenant. That's why I said we're only getting a glimpse of this covenant. Jesus says, when I leave, I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to give you the Holy Spirit, who's going to be with you forever. And the Holy Spirit's going to make the Father real and me very real. The Holy Spirit's going to be your helper. So now we come into the throne of grace and we're saying, Father, I need help. And the Father says, I'm committed to my covenant. I've given the Holy Spirit to you. He is your helper. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit and you'll experience his help. Don't be disobedient to the Holy Spirit of truth, who's revealing the Word is alive and is active and powerful. So we're trying to bypass that, and we're trying to run to verse 16 instead of realizing what is the Holy Spirit, because part of the covenant commitment of the Father is he's given us Holy Spirit to help us in life. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Fantastic Christmas Eve service, eh? But it's for us to live in what Christ has done for you and I as children of God. He came to save us from our sin. He came to redeem us, to rescue us out of that dominion of darkness that controlled and had us enslaved, and has brought us into the kingdom of his Son Jesus Christ, to be with our Heavenly Father, to be family once again with God Almighty. What a joyous celebration. And so all the time, as the Holy Spirit opens up these scriptures for us, we start to realize, but I have been enriched. Remember that we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. 4, 5 and 6. That all of us, because now this grace of God has come into our lives through Jesus Christ, Paul writes there, we have been enriched in the totality of our lives. So this grace that we've entered into, this grace that we experience and we receive in our walk with God, his grace has enriched us in the totality of our lives. His grace has enriched our speaking. His grace has enriched our knowledge. That's profound. If you're wanting to know more of God's will for your life, start to speak truth. Start to recognize and start to come into agreement. Father, I'm enriched. My life, you've enriched. The totality of my life has been enriched because of your grace. Because of your grace involved in my life, I am enriched. This morning, as we are sitting over here, we are so enriched because of God's involvement in our lives. We lack nothing. We lack nothing. We have been enriched in our Lord Jesus Christ, because grace and truth come through Him. So there's a renewing of the mind. So when it comes to coming to the throne of grace, there's a renewing of the mind. But Lord, I've got a problem. But I want to thank you that because of this throne of grace, grace reigns. I have been enriched in the totality of my life. I don't yet realize that, but I need Holy Spirit to give me the wisdom and the insight, the revelation of just how you've enriched me in this situation. Grace reigns. All of a sudden we start to experience the reigning power of this incredible grace of God through His Son Jesus Christ. But also there's the truth about the situation. And that's the Spirit of truth that makes it known to you and I. So we are privileged. Privileged people, enriched. Faith. Let's speak about faith quickly before we conclude. Faith. You look at Hebrews 11. And we read over there that all of the folk over there, God spoke. They received. There was a divine persuasion. They knew that what God was saying is the absolute truth. They received. And they could not yet see it, but in the Spirit, by faith, they could see that which is not yet seen. By faith, we have been enriched in the totality of our lives. You might not yet see it. This is why faith keeps us, moves us into the place of rest. So now by faith, I want to thank you, Father. You've enriched me totally. This is what I do. I spend a lot of time getting established in truth. So Father, you've enriched my emotions. The totality of my life has been enriched. You've enriched my emotions because of grace. You want inner healing? Start getting into agreement with truth. See? Stop living that lie. You've enriched my emotions because of grace. My emotions are enriched. My thoughts are enriched because of this grace. My attitude has been enriched. My future has been enriched by this grace of yours. And I start to just thank God for how I've been so enriched in His Son Jesus Christ. And as a result, you will find that all of a sudden, that prayer that Paul prays in Ephesians 3, now unto Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His great power that's within us. And all of a sudden, when we start to renew our mind and get into truth, what takes place? We start to find, wow, God, you're starting to do something far more than what I've asked for, far more than what I can imagine. Because now we are living in the power of this grace that's reigning through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now the Holy Spirit is taking what Christ has done for mankind and imparting it to us. His power is enabling us to be able to move beyond where we are right now. So you might come and you might face a situation. I would encourage all of us to stop and say, Father, sure, I've been enriched in the totality of my life. Thank you. In my speech, all my speech has been so enriched. What a joy not to complain about this. You want to talk about airports, Steve? What a joy not to complain about it. So this is how we need to start to get established in that, because we've got habits. So now, as the Holy Spirit shares a truth that we've been enriched, now we come to the throne of grace. Father, thank you that you're sharing. I need your grace. I need your power. I need your help to be able to now begin to live in the truth so that my speech reflects what your Son Jesus has done on my behalf in enriching my speech, in enriching my knowledge, in enriching the totality of my life. And we start to get established in Jesus. We start to understand what it is to live and move and have our being in our Lord Jesus Christ. And many now will experience I don't want to use the word promotion, but it'll be the shift from where we are right now into that which is far more than what we've asked or imagined, because we're now getting into agreement. Now we are living and experiencing the grace of God empowering us in our weaknesses. Now we're starting to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're experiencing His ability, His power in enabling us to do what God has called us to do. So over 1947, faith can see into the future. Over 1947, I prophesy and I declare, Sasselberg 1947, you know what? We have been enriched in totality of our lives. And all our understanding and all our speech, we as a community, we have been enriched through His Son Jesus Christ. Prophesy, pray, pray that over the families, speak that over the families, the truth of God. And we start to see the mighty miracles. So as we have communion this morning, one of the things that I believe God wants us to do this morning, not only but praying for ourselves, whatever the Holy Spirit has shared, and going to the throne, but as I shared, when Jesus said, when I leave, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of their unbelief in Jesus Christ. Carries on with righteousness and judgment as well. This is the time when many celebrate Christmas. But this mystery of God, who is Christ, is hidden. And we want to come to the throne of grace because the Father is committed. Our Father is committed. He's loyal to the covenant that His Son has made for His blood to atone for all of mankind. And we want us this morning at communion time, we want to come and we want to pray, Father, call the people. As people celebrate Christmas in one way or the other, as many have Jesus Christ and all the church services going around on the 25th, whatever's taking place, Father, reveal the mystery, reveal your Son Jesus Christ to them so that mankind can be born again. So we want to pray for the lost this morning. We want to pray this morning for the believers that have just got a very limited revelation of the Son of the Living God, so that Holy Spirit will give wisdom and insight to open up who Jesus is and to experience the awesomeness of knowing Him and being involved, he being involved in our lives. So we want to spend the time in communion, if it's okay with you. Many people are lost. Can you imagine the move of the Holy Spirit in the Gaza Strips, all those people that are getting killed, going to hell because of that deception? Can you imagine us, Father, you're committed to covenant. Your Son's blood has purchased. Your Son's blood has paid the price for the war, for our town, for our nations. God is committed, but it requires a faith in Jesus. And now the throne of grace will become our reality as we see the grace of God in nations, in families all over the world. And this is the time God is calling us to just come to that place, to His throne, based on His commitment to His Son's death and resurrection. So when the Father shared years back that the answer for our nation is the centrality of the cross of Jesus, This is what we're talking about. God, grace has already come through your Son Jesus. We have not yet received it. We don't know it. Holy Spirit, come give revelation. So as we now begin to grow into this, you will start to see prayers being answered. You'll be able to touch other people's lives, and it just multiplies, making disciples of all nations. Amen. Father, we want to thank you for the privilege of you calling us higher. You're calling us from being ground bound and focusing on all our problems, and you're calling us to come to the throne of grace higher, higher with you, seated with you, experiencing how grace reigns through this incredible gift of righteousness, your Son's righteousness. We understand more and more as you open this up in Revelations, where by the blood of Jesus we have been redeemed from all nations and tribes and languages, and we've been made a kingdom and priest to be able to serve you, Father, but also to be able to reign on this earth. And as we're stepping into a time where the revelation of you, Jesus, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords is going to become so real, we want to thank you. You're sharing with us a foundational truth to help us to be able to walk with you, to participate with you in the manifestation and the reality of you being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We want to thank you. We want to thank you, Lord, as we eat together this morning, just celebrating your death, your broken body. As we drink, celebrating the powerful reality of your blood. But also, Lord Jesus, we're celebrating your Father, our Father's commitment to this covenant meal, to this new covenant that you have made for us. And we want to thank you. One of the great joys we read there in Hebrews is when the Holy Spirit testifies to us the reality of the new covenant, where it's no longer outside rituals, but inside our hearts are changed. Inside our spirit comes alive. Inside we are becoming a total new person, and we want to thank you for that grace. So thank you for the power of your blood, Lord. So we celebrate today and what you have done for us and where you're leading us, for the glory of our Father. Amen. Amen.